Gary, are you nervous? Not in the slightest. Been at this too long now. See, what matters is that you receive from the Lord what you need. And if at the end you like me, that's a bonus. But if you hate me, I'm okay with that too, as long as you received what you need. Amen. I look around this room, many of the faces I know, and many of you I've met maybe once or twice over the years, and some of you, this is the first time. But one thing I know for sure, if you've made the journey here, God put a hook in your jaw. He dangled the truth in front of you, and you were hungry enough that you bit. And you bit on either a Dave Roberson tape or the book or something, that some message somehow, and something in you went, this is truth. Because of that hunger in you, then God drew you to him. He put a hook in your jaw, he says, and he drew you unto himself. What God is after, again, I'm going to start off like this, I guess, because it's the only vision that I see. It's easy to get distracted with the affairs of life and really to stay distracted. How many of you found out you're either going into a trial, in the middle of a trial, or coming out of a trial, about to go into the next trial? And that's the enemy's plan, see, to keep you through the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, persecutions, afflictions, to keep you so distracted that your life passes by and you wind up at the pearly gates and you go, oh yes, we were supposed to contend for something. See, and if he's put a hook in your jaw and drew you to this place, and you're part of this vision. And the vision that we have here is to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. And that's just the start. We want that. He wants that to come to your city. Like sparks from a flaming fire, the embers land. If you ever watched, I watched those horrible wildfires in California when those winds are blowing down out of the mountains. And my God, those embers, you know, you think, how in the world could anybody stop all of that? And the thing of it is, when revival really gets to going, and the wind of the Holy Ghost blows on your embers, he's not going to be able to stop that revival fire either, see. And I'm going to vote. I'm going to do my best to vote. I mean, I think that's a responsibility. My dad fought in World War II and shed his blood, so we have the rights to do those things, and I will vote. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, it's important that we have the right people in office, but I have no faith that politics is going to save our nation. I don't care who gets in, you know. I mean, well, I care who gets in, but it doesn't. That's not the answer. We have got to have a real awakening to God, a real revival with heart change in this country. Heart change. And I'm not against the blessings of God. I like the blessings of God. Don't you like the blessings of God? I like the blessings of God. Those also are a bonus. I don't want to live some kind of false, shiny, squeaky clean Christianity that leaves the crippled crippled and the blind blind and leaves our nation unsaved. And where America just goes off the history pages into oblivion, you know. We need a real revival. We need the kind where men's and women's lives are changed at the core. I remember Sue and I, we were really good heathens. You know, we weren't some of those that leave, you know, such good lives, quote, good lives, that they don't think they need to be saved. Listen, we knew we were on our way to hell. We just didn't know how to, you know, we just trying to have a good time on the way there, I guess. And until Michael come along, we didn't know how to get off that path, you know. But I know what it is to have a heart change. You know what it is to have a heart change. What's that old song where the things of this world grow strangely dim? And I enjoy the blessings of God. It's good. I think He wants to bless us more than we're being blessed. But that's not what this life is about. And that's certainly why you're not at this conference. You're at this conference for us to prune you. How do you think the plant feels? What are you doing with those shears? Hey, let's talk. What are you doing? That's a perfectly good bloom. What are you doing? Fixing the... What? What are you doing? It says if we abide in Him, He prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. You're at this conference for a pruning, and at the same time, we're going to... Sue knows what I'm about to... We're going to dig around your roots and dung you. You knew it was coming, didn't you? She knows me so well, she knew it was coming. We're going to dung you. You might not smell as pretty when you leave, but you'll be more effectual. And they let me preach here. It's amazing. Now, why are we not in revival? Let's get that straight. When I say revival, again, I thank God for every miracle I've seen at this church. I thank God not only for the miracles I've seen, for the miracles I've personally received. I said at the 8:30 service, for example, I have a heart that medical science says I cannot have. I have a heart condition that I developed in about 1994. And they said they had to put me on this real strong medication. I mean, I would just black out. And it was my heart, and they put me on this medication to regulate my heartbeat. And they said, now this is incurable. Once you have it till you die. We can't cure it. Only thing you can do is just take this medicine to regulate your heartbeat, and you'll have to take it till the day you die. Only problem with that, I mean, that's okay. I mean, I'm not against medicine, really. I mean, whatever helps us. I know the devil did not put aspirin in the earth to help us. Come on. If I need an aspirin, I'd take it, and I'd bless the name of the Lord for it and receive it with thanksgiving. But anyway, that particular medicine they had me on, when you read the side effects. I was in my 50s at the time, I think. Anyway, approaching 50. And it accelerates arthritis. I don't need that, thank you very much. And in my case, now, what you know, Dave laid hands on me, splat in the floor and all of that. But really, the Lord healed me over a two-year period. That testimony's on tape. I'm not here to teach that today. But over a two-year period. And I have not had a dose of that medicine now since May of 1998. Now, they say that's not possible. I haven't blacked out any either, have I, babe? Well, maybe just when I see her, I kind of get... I get a little woozy when I see her, but... That's a good kind of woozy. So I thank God for the miracles I've seen. We have seen incredible miracles here, and not just here at Bronx Church, and I've seen miracles. We saw a miracle. We saw a lady at least start the beginning stages of getting healed at lupus. Jim and I were just... Jim and I. So I'm not doing horoscopes, but Jim and I and Kathy, we were in Canada. And long story short, we prayed for this lady that had lupus, and not only was her strength coming back during the service... She had, you know, lupus, you wind up with sores all over you. And I noticed after we prayed and she laid in the floor a while, got up, then her and her friend went to the bathroom, come back. Well, what they were doing, her legs got to feeling funny. So she went, that very morning, she had taken gauze and tape and putting over these sores on her legs and other places on her body. Well, she said, my legs started feeling funny. So they went and she took off one of those patches. And the sore was gone. She just put it on there that morning. She took off another one. That sore was gone. Now, the pastor said he'd follow up and give us a full report. But, hey, aren't we thanking God for that kind of thing? Our God can heal lupus. Amen. But what I'm talking about, what we're really contending for here, I thank God for that. And Paul says, where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Okay, we're supposed to at least stay there. But... this is not the full-blown ministry of Jesus when he says, the works that I do, shall you do also. I mean, I have yet to see an amputee come and watch a leg grow out. Yet in the ministry of Jesus, it plainly says the maimed were made whole. And it says the people wondered when it happened, meaning it happened while they watched. Now, we get some of that happening on a regular basis, where it cannot be dismissed, it cannot be, you know, where it's real. We'll have CBS, ABC, NBC, and the Fox News Network. And again, I'm just repeating some, getting us going down the same vein of thought as this morning. I inherited a prison ministry from Michael. I spent a lot of, you know, several years ministering in the prisons. I have had my debates. There's always lots of Muslims in prisons. I have had my debates with them. Listen, they know their Quran like we know our Bible. They're not going to convert me to being a Muslim. And I found out it's not likely I'm going to convert them to be a Christian based on a word debate. But that same Muslim, if he has a blind sister, he'd say, I tell you what, you pray in the name of Allah, and I'll pray in the name of Jesus. And the God who answers the blind, who opens the blind eyes, that's God. Now he's going to be interested in hearing about your Jesus, if you can open the eyes of his sister or his mother. See, Jesus said again, he said in John chapter 10, if I do not the works of my Father, well, believe me not. And you know, that's pretty much what has happened. The whole world has observed Christianity as it has existed in our generation. And they've not seen much of the works of the Father. And even when they did, like I thank God for the healing crusades and things at the end of World War II. But many of those ended in scandal. Not all of them. Many of them did. And today, you know, we still see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Maybe you'll go and an evangelist will have a genuine healing gift and get somebody out of a wheelchair, and then 5 minutes later he's selling you a prophecy for $300. Well, the world just laughs at that. They look at all of the money manipulation on TV and they just laugh, you know. Well, what God is after this time is not just a revival of pouring out his power on baby Christians. What I mean by baby Christians, I don't mean people that's been born again just a short amount of time. You can be 50 years a Christian and be a baby. We're talking about people who have learned how to yield themselves over to the only true teacher in the body of Christ, and that's the Holy Ghost, who not only has the power to instruct you, but has the power to help you transform to the very image of Christ. Where there's nothing, there's no self-serving motives left in you. It's not about money. It's not about fame and fortune. It's not about the glory of man. It's not about, they used to say, bigger cars and VCRs. Now it's iPods and hot rods. You know. But it's not about any of those things. It's exactly what Jesus said about himself. He says, everything I do, I'm not doing it of my own will. I have no desire to do what's pleasing to my own will, only the will of my Father. People, that's not natural humanity. That's not normal for humans. That takes the power of the Holy Ghost to conform you to the image of Christ so that all of your heart motivations are the same as his. God is not afraid of abundance. Yesterday, I got a lesson in abundance. Got a lesson in abundance, and I had to repent. I said, Lord, I can see plainly I've withheld your hand in some areas that you'd like to do some things. But see, God's not, he's not afraid of abundance. But right on the other hand, our lives are not about abundance. Our lives are about being about our Father's business. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, created in Christ Jesus. When it says we, that's not talking about the Steve Carpenter over here that I know, by the way, we're no kin, we're no, except by the blood of Jesus, no natural kin. I know Steve. I know his wife. We've talked. We've fellowshipped. We've shared meals together. But I'm more acquainted with the outside Steve than I am acquainted with the inside Steve. And sadly, I think Steve is more acquainted with the outside Steve. Maybe not. I know Gary is more acquainted with the outside Gary. The devil keeps trying to think that that nasty Gary is me. What nasty Gary? Oh, the one that gets mad. The ones that still has trouble driving by the Krispy Kreme donut shop without stopping. The one that this and the one that that. See, the devil is hell-bent on getting you to think that's you. No. Big part of who we're identifying with is what the Bible calls the flesh. And that warfare is going on still. You can read about it in Galatians. It says the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, and these two are the contrary one to the other. There is a war that's going to be going on. But the flesh is not really you. I like how Alan said it best. He said, that flesh is not you. That is who you are contending against. The real you, when it says we there in that verse, we, who is we? That's that new creature on the inside of you. It is the very spawn, it is the offspring of God, made in His image. Ephesians will tell you, from the get-go, from the instant you were reborn, created in righteousness and true holiness. Before the week is out, maybe we'll get into a little bit into what's called the radical grace thing. God's been having me study that for a year now. Reading all kinds of books. And I tell you what, I thank God for the foundation I have from this place. Because it is very deceptive. Very easy to go that way. And there's a lot of truth in it. Well, anything that's effective will have any deception that is effective will have a lot of truth in it. Again, you can't poison a dog by feeding it straight arsenic or strychnine. It just won't eat it. You got to take that strychnine and put it in about 5 pounds or, you know, a good pound of hamburger meat, and then the dog will eat it, but it'll still kill him. Say, well, it was mostly good. It's dead anyway. Well, we may get into some of that. But see, when it says the gift of righteousness, the gift, Abraham only received that positional truth. He was accounted righteousness. Dave went through great lengths over the years, and I'm not going to get into this too much today. Dave went to great lengths to show us what does accounted righteousness mean. Well, Abraham walked in it. It says it was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. So Dave says, well, here's Abraham walking across the devil's turf. He's walking across the land, and the devil says, this is my land. Who gave you the right to walk on my land? Abraham reaches in his wallet, starts going through the cards. He said, just a minute, I'll show you how I'm walking across your land. Discover? No. American Express? No. Staples Reward? No. here it is. It's the Master Charge card. He says, charge my righteousness to the cross. Because one day the Master is coming. He's going to take my sin. And I have His righteousness. That's what gives me the right to walk across this land. And that is exactly true for Old Covenant believers. But we have something that they never had. Abraham had accounted righteousness, but that did not change Abraham's nature. It could not change who he was at his core. You, when it says in Romans that we have received the gift of righteousness, those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. It's more than just accounted righteousness. He put a spirit on the inside of you that is created righteous as a free gift. He not only gave you accounted righteousness, He empowered you to walk a righteous life. I love our pastor. He can take great complex theological issues that people write whole books about, and in one sentence, he can just give you the truth, you know. One of the things they say all the time, all of them say, or most of them say, I haven't read all of them. They say, well, you know, you're just so forgiven that when you sin as a Christian, I mean, Jesus, did he not? They lead you through it real carefully. Did he not pay for every sin? Yes, he paid for every sin. Is righteousness eternal? Yes, it is eternal. So he paid for every sin. Yes, he did. So they say, well, you're so forgiven that when you sin, you don't even need to ask forgiveness anymore. And I was reading that in one of those books, and I'm going, this guy's going to have a real problem with 1 John 1:9 when he gets there. Sure enough, to his credit, he addresses it. You know what he says? Oh, that first chapter wasn't written to Christians. Yeah, I know. It is laughable. He sells a lot of books, though. You know? Yeah, so he said it's not even written to Christians. So he mentioned that to Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave, what do you think about this doctrine where, you know, if you're a Christian, that Christ has already paid for your sin. So if you sin, to ask forgiveness, they say, is almost a slap in the face of Jesus because he already paid for it. What do you think about that? Are you all ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Now, this is deep calleth unto deep. He says, well, of course we need to ask forgiveness. In the old covenant, they didn't have much choice with that sin nature. We don't have to sin. So for sure, if we do, we need to ask him to forgive us and repent. And I'm glad I go to this church. I love my pastor. Absolutely. We'll get into more of that for the week. Is that? We are his workmanship is the point. That creature that's on the inside. See, I hate to even say it that way, because that separates that creature from you. The real you. That new creature that you are on the inside is not something you're making. It's not something you're really perfecting. We are whose workmanship? Again, I mentioned this morning, you know, my dad, my earthly dad, O.R. Carpenter, would have thought it really funny if I had come to him and said, now, Dad, don't you think it's a, don't I get a pat on the back that I worked so hard to become your son? And he'd look at me and, now, boy, your existence was based on work done between me and your mother. You had nothing to do with that. Well, see, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that spirit that was created on the inside of you was not an act of your holiness. It was not an act of your going to church. It was not an act of anything. You, when it comes to the recreation, had nothing to do with that. We are his workmanship. And I mean, he did a good job. Turn to somebody and say, he did a good job on me. The real me is created in righteousness. Say it. The real me is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the real me. Well, we're trying to get that man from the inside to the outside. See? He keeps bringing me back to this point I haven't said yet. At the end of this morning service, okay, we're going to jump over all this and get to the end of this morning service. God made you, the real you, the child of God you. The one who has dominion in the name of Jesus, and he made you in Christ's image. You truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror, and your mind must be renewed to that truth. Did you hear that? That's the renewing of the mind. At the website, garycarpenter.org, it may be at Dave's too, I don't know for sure, it's sure welcome to be there. We have a file in the printed material section called the In Him Confessions. And what we've done, we've gone through all the New Testament, and everywhere that there is a scripture that says who you are in Him, in Christ, by whom, in whom, all of those type confessions, by Christ, I know that, by his blood, all those type of things. Every verse that it says who the real you are. When it says we are his workmanship, the real we, the real you, you are who he says you are. You are not who you think you are. You are not who your actions say you are. The real you is who he says you is, are, am. You am who the great I am says you am. I am says it, that's the end of it. You're not supposed to argue with him, supposed to believe it. So this morning he said, print that out again, print it double-sided. I'll just, you know, pray and obey. I've got a little printer that'll print double-sided. And I'm amazed at how thin that is. Can you see that? That's what, for Bennett, okay, see the video here? That's not even an eighth of an inch thick. He's going, big job, isn't it? Big job. How many novels have you read? Big, thick books. Well, some of you, that won't work. Let's see. How many books have you been reading about Christian-type books, you know? They're pretty thick, half inch sometimes. I'm not against books. I like books. He says, look, I was looking at it. I was astounded how thin it is. Eighth of an inch. What if we actually renewed our minds to believe about ourselves and only believe about ourselves what God says about us? What if we allowed the Holy Spirit, you know, not only read these scriptures, but then fill our mouth with what he says about us. Just not be willing to say anything else. Abraham had to do exactly that. That miracle would never, ever have happened. That supernatural regeneration of his body and Sarah's body would never, ever have happened if Abram had not been willing to say about himself only what God said about him. He would say, you know, the name Abram, he originally was Abram. God changed it to Abraham. Every time he said who he was, hello, my name is Abraham. He was saying, I am the father of a multitude, and him about 100 years old. Sarah about 90, I think. I think I got it right that time. And already past the time of the way of women with her. We know he wasn't such a hot rod either because Sarah laughed. Truth is truth. But if he hadn't have been willing to say about himself only what God said. Now, that's not to take away from repentance when you do wrong. We're not talking about that. We're supposed to be tender-hearted sons of the living God walking in fellowship with him. One of these books says, I'll go ahead and say this part. They say the Holy Spirit will not convict you of sin. Yeah, I know, me too. Listen, it's really not so much, be honest with you, it's really not so much the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, it's your new nature. That's why he put that nature in there, so you don't have to have an external law. You're about to do wrong, you're going to get a witness. And who is that? It could be the Holy Spirit, but normally that's your new nature. God wants us walking by his nature, the nature that he put in us, and it's the nature of love. What you don't need, he says, if you learn to walk according to love, that is the fulfilling of the law. That's why we only have that one. Well, you can't, how are you going to be led by the Spirit? Unless you be led by the new nature. And then the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you into the natural things. You know, your nature won't give you phone numbers and addresses and things like that, but the Holy Spirit will. Supernaturally. Okay. I mean, that's really another message later in the week. I got a lot of good stuff on it. I want to just do one of these right now. Let's renew our mind just a little bit. Just say with, now, what, here's the verse. Romans 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You want to turn to it? See, it's Romans 3:24. This is the first scripture on this page. Now, this document is at our website. It's in the printed material section. It's in PDF format. You can download it for a love offering of not. No, you can download it for free. We urge you to make copies, distribute to friends, We're not trying to make any money off of this. We're trying to make disciples. Okay? But mainly we want you, you know, to start renewing the mind to this. To think like this. And only say about ourselves what he says. Confession is still made unto sozo. Confession is made unto salvation. So based on that, we just made these confessions. And there's nothing magical or special about these confessions. This is the way I wrote it that helps me. I want to say about myself what the word says. So say this after me. I have been declared just in the sight of God. I am redeemed by grace alone. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't pay the price. It was free to me. Jesus paid a terrible price to redeem me. Redemption means I have been cleared by payment. Jesus took my guilt and paid the price in full with his own blood. I am justified because of payment in full. No accusations against me have any legal standing before God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That doesn't mean if you sin, you don't need to repent and ask God to forgive you. But as soon as you do that, see, what we have something Adam never had. Because, you know, as I was learning, that, you know, as God was bringing me through the years, line upon line, precept upon precept, understanding this new birth, I come to the point, I'm going, well, if we're born again like Adam, like the first, you know, if we had that life in us, how come we don't die again the first time we sin? Of course, none of you have ever sinned since you got born again, but I'm just talking about me, okay? First lie, first whatever, you know? And he had to teach me. I didn't know. It took a long time to get that answer. You don't always get the answer in 5 minutes when you ask a question, you know? But it took line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why the book of Hebrews goes to such great lengths to teach us that we have something that Adam never had. We have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who's not a priest that comes and goes based on who's alive at the time. He's a high priest forever by the power of an endless life. And he's not like those priests of old that had to offer a sacrifice every time. No, by one sacrifice, his blood on the mercy seat. It is there. I don't care if you fail 10 times an hour, 70 times a day, or 70 times 7. It says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But even if you stumble, it says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen? We have something that Adam never had. We have this high priestly ministry of Jesus. That's why it's even more important for us to walk humbly, tenderly, close to our God, following the promptings of the new nature, following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you, don't ask me how I know this. If you decide to go a different way, he'll let you go. And you can get so far out there now, you get out on the devil's turf. I got out there so far one time, disobeying God, nearly cost me my life. Wasn't God did it to me, it was the devil did it to me. Nearly died. You know, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, that's imagery from the shepherd. They've got a rod, you know, and a staff. Well, one of them's got a crook on it. In case you get out too far, he's trying to get you back. Well, that's the promptings of the Holy Ghost in your new nature. But that rod is there to beat the wolf off. Well, if you disobey, if you harden your heart, you can get out there beyond rod length. Again, I'm speaking from experience, but you don't have to. Now, renewing of the mind. Yes, sir. So many of the lessons over the last few years, I'm talking about my own teachings. I taught them. Now he's teaching me what they mean. What I mean by that, he's taking the individual parts. You ever see, you know, you ever build a brick wall, you know, It's like a stone wall, though. It's building this stone wall of revelation knowledge. And it's like you have to understand the stone, or you have to have the stone before you can ever... Well, that's kind of like the teachings that he gives us. You know, okay, I got a stone of revelation here. I got a whole pile of stones. But when he starts putting them together, even those stones, you see them in a different way when they're assembled into this wall of revelation. And that's kind of what's going on now. It's like... And it goes from micro teaching to macro. And you start seeing the whole thing. So let me say it like this. I don't know what else to do in this service. Your spirit before regeneration and after it. Let's just talk about you, the real we. We are his workmanship. Your spirit, the real you before, was dead to God. We have verses for that. Even in Ephesians, Paul says to them, he says, before you were born again, you were without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world. Boy, that's us. After regeneration, your spirit is alive to God. You got that? Before regeneration, whether you want to admit it, and really whether you were trying to be a righteous person or the worst sinner didn't make any difference. There was a nature on the inside of you prompting and pushing you towards sin. Some yielded to it more than others. Dave again taught us who had you makes all the difference. Who did you grow up under? You know, did they put an artificial conscience in you or not? But you've got to understand it. See, we tend to waffle back and forth based on our daily performance, who we are. Who you are does not change. Lily, I like to use my little granddaughter Lily. She's 5 years old. Trust me, she's the apple of her granddaddy's eye. You know, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. Look at me and melt me into a puddle. You know? But that little girl, on the one hand, I mean, my heart... Have you ever loved so much it hurts? I ache sometimes with the love, you know? And the events that I'm talking about now, she was not born again. I'm not... You know, I know for sure she started lying to Papa. She would lie to everybody. She stole her bigger brother's wallet one time. Now, we're saying that she did it for fun. I don't know for sure what her motive was. But I do know she lied about it. Did you take his wallet? No. We're looking for it. They're looking for it. Nobody can find the wallet. You know, finally... Her daddy sets her down, and boy gets right. We know you took that wallet. You tell us where you put it right now. There's going to be trouble. I put it in the refrigerator. Her performance at that moment was not as high as we would like for her. But Lily is Lily. Love that girl. You think I wouldn't lay down my life for her in a heartbeat? I would. Helps me understand how God so loved the world, even in the fallen state, that he gave his only begotten son. See, it helps me understand that. But see, we keep thinking that our performance really defines who we are. I'm telling you, that's my granddaughter on her worst day. That's my granddaughter on her best day. Now, I may have some correction from her, but if you got any, you better come through me. Because she is mine. And that's the way God is with us. He really is. See, the only way that you can make sense out of this thing is through a good family. I always say through family, and Sue has to keep reminding me. See, because I came up through such a good family. I had a really good father, had a really good mother. And so I always say family. And when I say it, it's a real blessing. She says, you don't understand. Some people grew up in horrible families. They were abused and abandoned. And Dave can tell you about his. You know, it wasn't the best. So let me tell you, from a good family, you belong to them on your good day and on your bad day. Now, it may be discipline that day, but that does not change their love for you. Does not change God's love for you. You are the apple of his eye. You are his favorite. Shh, don't tell anybody. They won't believe you. But you are. And the next one is too, and so is the next one. You are his family. But we are who he says we are. Before we were regenerated, there was this driving force on the inside called the sin nature. Always at work, always at work. Some people say, I have that still. No, you don't. What you have now, I'll get to that in a minute, is the flesh pulling on you from the outside. See, but before your spirit was regenerated, you did have a sin nature driving from the inside. But now sin is tempting you from the outside. It's coming through the flesh, and that's who you have to contend with. Before you were regenerated, the only way that you knew really right from wrong was either through your parents who gave you an artificial conscience or through the law. The man in Romans 7, he says, I wouldn't have known coveting was wrong. Who knew? When you have a sin nature, well, coveting seems okay unless God says it's not okay. So before you were born again, that's why God has to put you under the law to bring you to Christ. You know? But now that you're born again, you have a nature of love on the inside of you, and I'm telling you, it is a safe guide. You're to be led by that new nature, and you really have it. You really have it. Before you were regenerated, yes, sir. You know, every time Jesus talks about forgiving your enemies, and like Luke 6, he talks about, you know, at near the end of it, he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let me tell you about the man that built his house on the sand, and the storm came, and his house fell because it was built on the sand. Then the other guy built on a rock, and the storm came, and it stood because it was built on a rock. So is everyone who hears my sayings and does them. So, you know, Pastor Dave, he says, well, let's back up and see if the key is doing his sayings. Let's back up and see if we can find some. So you start backing up there, and you know, I always wanted to stop at Luke 6:38. I thought it was the only verse in Luke 6, you know, give and it'll be given unto you. I thought that was the only one. But really, you have to back up to like verse 26 or so, 27 right in there, where it starts talking about, I say unto you, does that sound like some of his sayings? I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Do good to them and so forth and so on. And you're going, what? Everywhere he teaches like that, real close, like in that same chapter, you'll find him talking about two kinds of trees. He says, now can you pick thorns? Do you get thorns off of an apple tree? Do you get apples off of a thorn tree? And you go, no, of course not. What has to happen? If you're getting bad fruit, let's say it even worse than that. Not bad fruit like a bad apple. If you're getting the wrong fruit, sin fruit, greedy fruit, self-serving fruit, if that's the fruit, digging around that kind of tree won't help. You have to change the tree. The source life of the tree has to be different. You can't get fruit off of a thorn tree. And every place that you hear him talk like that, he's talking about the new birth. Now what happens to us? He has genuinely changed your tree. You are a fruit-bearing tree. Trouble of it is, most of us have not learned to live by the sap in that tree. Let me say it a different way. We've not learned to live by the spirit on the inside of us. We're still living our lives pretty much through the soul, the intellect. We do that as a means of protection because we have strongholds we've built to protect us from past hurts, past wounds, past things. We built these little strongholds to protect us. Trouble of it is, a stronghold is very effective. You know what it does? Separates you from people. And that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be about. So what the... Yes, sir. And I still haven't got to it. We will get to it. God did not send Jesus alone to do the work that he did. Jesus went with a helper. God did not send you alone. Now see, in this service, he wants to talk about you are, in the 8:30 service and this service, we are his workmanship. You have got to get it right. You are who he says you are. And I highly recommend to you again, before this conference is over, after you get home, don't just download these and print them out. Do whatever it takes. It's only an eighth of an inch thick. Do whatever it takes to renew your mind to this. But even after that, he doesn't send you into warfare alone. He didn't Jesus. He anointed him with somebody. Who was that? Let's see, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is with you too. God is with you too. You have been anointed with the Holy Ghost. Now, Dave recently, within the last month, did a message. I don't know what title they put on it. All I heard was endurance. And it was a message about endurance. And if you've never seen it before, as you go out the door later today and you look on the left-hand side, they have that prophecy in a big thing on the wall out there called endurance. And after I was listening to Dave teach about that and the endurance, what the Holy Spirit said about it, again, he got me looking unto Jesus. Now here's Jesus, born with the very life of God, able to hear God, taught by God from the crib. He wasn't born with a sin nature. So he had, what, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he was born with the Spirit of God. Therefore, he could know the things that are freely given of God. He was taught those things from the crib up. We weren't. We were taught the wrong way by a sin nature until we got saved. That's why our mind has to be renewed. I said in the first service, he was born with his mind already nude. He didn't have to be renewed. He was taught from the get-go. Okay? But talk about endurance. Think about Jesus of Nazareth, understanding God, understanding the heart of God as a 12-year-old boy, to the point he could teach. He was teaching the leaders in the synagogue, remember? And they were astounded at his wisdom. Yet Jesus himself, you reckon he grew up in Nazareth. You reckon there was any blind people in Nazareth? What about lame people, you reckon? I wonder what his heart, wonder how his heart ached walking by somebody begging with however they did it there, probably not a tin cup. I don't think they had tin. But however they were begging in his heart, you know, maybe they were blind. Everything in him, walking the path of the Father, he himself did no miracle. Not until he was baptized by the Holy Ghost. People here say, I've been here 6 months. I've prayed. I'm sure I'm through with every stronghold. We actually had a lady say that. It was a year and a half, I think. She was here a year and a half. Oh, I'm free of every stronghold. I'm ready. Well, we're still waiting for her worldwide ministry to engulf the world in revival. Listen, endurance is the key. You say, well, I've been praying. I heard this message. I've been praying. And I know some of you have a long time. We have been a long time. I'm telling you, God is not slack concerning his promises. You ought to thank God. He is not pouring revival through us more than he is. He is pouring revival through us as much as he possibly can. And that scares me half to death. Makes me wonder, good God, what strongholds are still in me? What still has to come down? How many Jerichos, how many Ai's have to go yet? But I don't care. 30 years walking through Nazareth, walking past the blind, walking past the lame. Couldn't do anything. His heart had to ache. If he had the heart of the Father, which I know he did, heart had to ache for them. Yet endurance is the key. When he was anointed for the ministry, nothing could stop him. The devil threw everything. You think the devil is throwing stuff at you? I mean, those temptations in the wilderness, only three are recorded for us. I like how Dave says it. He says, it was to the max. That temptations, everything was thrown at him that could be thrown at the human race. And he overcame them all. Why? Free of handles. The Holy Spirit's got a banquet for you this week. I firmly believe with all of my heart, I don't think anyone is here by accident. I know many of you had to fight to get here. I'm sure the devil threw up hindrances and blocks and everything from flat tires to of everything in the world, but you're here. I believe before this week is out, he's going to serve you up a meal. Several meals, a buffet in the spirit, if you'll allow me. Your spirit man is going to look like the Immokalee weightlifter. Stand again, Brock. Stand again. Stand up. Come on. That's, come on now. Come on. Come on. Your spirit man's going to look like that. Glory to God. Because that's who you really are on the inside.